Hello and welcome to the Plumline Podcast. Words I wasn't sure I'd ever say again. But here we are. Right, Kat?
Hello. So good to be back.
When you suggested this to me earlier today, I was so glad. And it's among various things I've been meaning to tell you about or message you about over the last, I don't know, 2 months.
Obviously.
You think, I must tell Kat that and then sort of forget. Or then we do have a long awaited meetup and then it's just not time to talk about absolutely everything. But yeah, feels good. We've obviously had some build up of things and life events, but the natural progression of simply talking about it is podcasting about it.
Yeah.
I think pressing record.
We underestimated maybe how much we benefited from being kind of forced to talk to each other.
I think we massively benefited from it. And the reality is now that it is actually really hard to find time to talk to each other, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is increasingly without there being other people there or it being really late or, you know, being too short. And then between us, we've got 7 children. So the idea that all 7 of them would just be all right for long enough while we do what we need to do. Unbelievable.
Or that they just sort of want to join in with us, which is really nice. And yet at some point you just have to explicitly sometimes say, can you go now so that we can just talk? And then you have to suffer all the eye rolling and humping. What, you mean you don't want me with you the whole time? Well, no.
Yeah. And then I love our sort of shuffling around the house to have a stolen few moments together before someone like then inevitably finds us and comes and joins in, so then sort of find an excuse to then move into another room without
so you go for a wee and then I sort of lurk outside and then sort of accost you as you emerge from the loo and then we get to have a bit of a stolen chat there.
Yeah. And then ridiculous. You know, 5 of them will like come plodding in and want something, won't they? And then anyway, it's just quite funny, isn't it? It's all quite funny, but at the same time frustrating.
Deeply frustrating. I think we underestimate the value of, I think I've underestimated the value of friend time. And we're both very, very good friends with our husbands, aren't we? I mean, our own husbands and each other's husbands, but especially with our own husbands. But
digging yourself
comes
a hole
a point where there, it's not the same as a friendship with a friend, like with a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And he would be so bored if I only talked to him about the sorts of things I talk to you about.
I know. But then sad if you don't. So you can't win, can you?
Yeah, I know you can't win.
do you know what? I was listening to a podcast earlier and it's not one that I normally listen to, but it was like I'd finished another one. And then you know how sometimes they like automatically come on. And I think I was driving, so I couldn't like really stop it or whatever. So I just thought, I'm nearly home. And I thought, do you know the difference between an American podcast and an English podcast? Is that every now and again, Americans just unwittingly drop in fanny pack. And you're like, that is literally hilarious. That is why I listen to American podcasts, because of moments like that where you just like That just makes it worth the while. You just don't know what you're saying and how funny it is.
So is that why you messaged me earlier? Because you've been thinking about, you've been listening to other podcasts and found them all lacking and thinking, do you know what the world needs? Is the resurrection.
It was, I think it was partly because, of the fanny pack moment. And I thought, oh, I must remember to tell Kat about. I think the point of the podcast was that at one point fanny packs were like really fashionable. You notice how I'm trying to say fanny pack as many times as I can.
You're doing well.
And they were talking about like different, you know, different things that come up like in culture. It was about children. It was about ghosts, actually, like massive ghost culture in America at the moment, with it being Halloween and stuff. And anyway, it just made me think again, like, I can't say that I've seen the rise of like Wicca and that kind of thing amongst teens in the UK. Obviously, I don't know all teens in the UK and all trends, but from, you know, people I speak to and friends and stuff, it's not something that I've heard of being like really front and center, which then made me just think like, oh, where would I go to listen to the equivalent in the UK? Not that that's necessarily us after some of the things that we've spoken about before, but you know, where a fanny pack can lead, you have to go, don't you? And that was where it led
me. Follow the fanny pack. Well, you're gonna absolutely hate yourself, but you have unwittingly given me the best way in for me to talk about one of my recent adventures.
Oh,
which
come
is
on.
Of course, going to America for the second time in my life.
Well, and how fitting it would be a fanny pack that led me there, really.
And one of the things I observed in America, Texas to be specific, in an afternoon spent very happily in an enormous Barnes and Noble, was that while there was an enormous Christian section in the bookshop, there was an enormous everything section in the bookshop, obviously. There was a really big Christian section, a huge Bible section. Saw, you know, Laurie Wilbert's book In the Wild, the books of various people that we enjoy and admire, and some perhaps less so. An amazing array of beautiful Bibles in a mainstream bookshop. I don't think Americans can appreciate how that is never not weird for a British person in America.
Yeah.
that you would just find good Christian content in a mainstream bookshop. But what they also had in the bookshop, not that far from the Bibles and Christian books, was they had a massive Wicca, tarot, witchy section.
Oh, did they?
I don't know what they called it, but kind of pagan-y. Yeah, okay. Pagan witchery, basically, and tarot stuff. And I think it is a real growth area in the area of sort of spirituality and spiritual searching, especially, unsurprisingly, among young women.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this podcast would certainly echo all of that. And I was quite like taken back by. So I think in Teen Vogue, this month's Teen Vogue was like a dedicated how to find ghosts in your house.
You never miss an issue, do you, of Teen Vogue?
No, it's on delivery. but I was quite like, goodness me, the fact that a whole Teen Vogue can be dedicated to the use of pepper and whatever else, Wicca prayers.
Pepper? How does pepper come into it?
Apparently pepper's like a kind of a spice that you can use to invoke the ghosts in your home.
They love a well-seasoned house.
Well, they always say seasoning's the most important part, don't they? So
do they? So Christians stay salty and ghosts stay peppery.
Yeah. It's like the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Beautiful. That's a beautiful, beautiful symbolism. Are you aware of any of the sort of paranormal podcasts, other podcasts that are out there at the moment, like Uncanny? Have you listened to the Uncanny podcast?
No, I haven't.
I recommend that. It's really good. British. And there's a very good episode early on, which you will enjoy because it's set in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, in a student residence block. And it is really creepy.
So it's about paranormal activity, is it?
Yeah. Paranormal activity and people's sort of stories about the paranormal and just the unexplained. So people talking about things that happened to them that they experienced, you know, that they remember really well. They just can't explain it. Most of them are reluctant to say it was definitely a ghost. A lot of the people are of the kind of, I don't believe in ghosts. I'm a very rational person, but I just can't explain it. And the sort of the strap line for the podcast is, I know what I saw. You know, I can't explain it, but I know what I saw. I was there. And then they have a sort of para, is she called a parapsychologist or a paranormal psychologist, who specializes in the kind of psychology of the paranormal. And then they have a kind of rational man. I mean, he's some sort of an academic, but he's the sort of the cynic and the skeptic who's on. So he talks about like what it could have been to sort of explain it away. And she's called Evelyn Hollow, which is such a great like witchy name. I wonder if when she gets tired, people call her Sleepy Hollow. Like the story. Anyway, that's a bit of a niche reference. We're a bit after the fact of Halloween, aren't we, for this? We should have brought this out like a week ago.
Do you think I should write tell them about the pepper?
Yeah, ask them if they know about pepper as a means of sort of attracting ghosts.
That could kind of just put a whole lid on the whole podcast, couldn't it?
Well, it might spice up the podcast.
This is what I'm here for.
Exactly. Anyway, it's really good.
Good. Now, I haven't come across Uncanny. I've listened to a bit of Cultish, you know, where they, it's sort of in the same vein, where they take, they do a bit of paranormal stuff, a lot about aliens and that kind of thing.
I'm not so bothered about them.
Oh, some of it's quite interesting. Some of it's quite interesting. I don't love the hosts of it and stuff. I think they're definitely from a kind of culture or sect of American Christianity that I think I find quite difficult to listen to. But
right,
like they are engaging with some of this stuff, which is just not often engaged with in Christian circles, isn't it? So
no, not at all.
And they do, and they,
and if
do
it's growing
it well,
in popularity if it's growing in popularity as much as it is in the mainstream or the sort of sub mainstream, then we should be engaging with it. I am fully signed up to the things that we can't explain.
Obviously,
yeah. But I don't get very hung up on trying to pursue what it might be. I'm quite happy not knowing.
Wait, yeah, I mean,
I've moved on to the next thing.
That could be the title of your other podcast. I'm quite happy not knowing.
What, happy not knowing? Bit of a time lag there. I think you went and then came back.
Yeah, I think you went and then slowed down. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was going to ask you was, well, I was going to say, let's talk a bit about America and whether you slapped your thigh and shouted, what is it? Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
I actually didn't. I didn't slap my thigh, but I did. I did come very close in a fantastic cowboy boot shop in Austin, where I tried on numerous pairs of cowboy boots, which was really good fun. But yeah, America was, it was really good. I mean, I sort of came to it hot off a very busy half of term and quite a lot of stress. And then just suddenly I was off to America with my mum and my daughter. So it wasn't, it didn't feel like a very relaxing undertaking. It definitely got more relaxing once we got there. But I think I went into it a little bit on the stressy front. But yeah, it was really good. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted there by you messaging me. That's helpful, thanks. I mean, we were in Texas, and Texas is just, I mean, I don't know if it's like anywhere else. I mean, I think it definitely thinks it isn't like anywhere else. It thinks it's maybe heaven, but not anywhere apart from that.
As demonstrated by the, what was it, t-shirts? In Texas as it is in heaven.
Oh yeah, and my sister's church in Houston as it is in heaven was their Houston, like, tagline that they had all over everything. I know, which I thought was amazing.
Which is amazing. Like, that's an incredible tagline. But there is,
well, you could have it for anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know, that there's something about in Houston as it is in heaven that rolls off the tongue a bit better than like in Rotherham as it is in heaven, or in Wolverhampton as it is in heaven.
Yeah, Wolverhampton doesn't scan very well, does it?
It doesn't quite. But I do feel that in my dealings with America over the last few years, there is something about, like, people from Texas just think Texas is, like, amazing, don't they?
I know.
Like, they literally love it. Texas, it's like a thing.
And self-aware Texans realise that they think like that.
Did you
talk like that? And are all,
did you go around and ask them
for it? No, I didn't see that many real Texans, because we were mostly together and in the car, and then interacted with a few people in shops and eating places, and that was it really.
Okay.
So didn't see anyone to talk to at the church, because it was very, very big, and we just sort of arrived and went into the service and then left. And then, which I think is kind of how they, like, how my sister's family do it. They just sort of go to the service and then go home.
So they don't go to a potluck or a providential luck, or whatever it's called.
No, they're not going to constant potlucks, funnily enough. If only we had gone to a potluck. But yes, I didn't meet loads of Americans. I had some quite funny exchanges. I mean, obviously I tried to wring every last drop of interaction out of anyone I talked to in a shop. I mean, and they were just a bit, they didn't seem bothered. Or there was a couple of people who really didn't get what I couldn't understand about whatever the transaction was, and explaining how something worked or how you ate the thing that you were buying, and me having to sort of say, I'm not from here, I'm from the UK. And you may as well have said, I'm from Venus. There's a few of them looked at me like, I don't know what that means, that you're saying you're not from Texas, or you're not from here, or you're a visitor. I've never come across a visitor before who doesn't know how to eat this thing.
Do you think that's because, explain it to you, for them, like, there is nowhere else outside of Texas?
Possibly. And possibly, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just really unused to visitors. They're just the places where I happen to be. One place was called the Kalachi Factory, and it was underneath some of the skyscrapers in downtown Houston. A kalachi is a sort of cross between a bagel and a donut, with a sort of filling, like a cream cheesy filling or fruit or brisket or something like that.
Brisket. Maybe that's why they didn't know what you were saying, because you kept asking for truchan and they were like, we've never heard
well, she
of
was, she was asking me, did I want it heated up? And I was sort of saying, well, what do you recommend? She looked at me like, I said, I don't know, I've never had one before. And that just didn't seem to compute. I'm like, I'm not from here, I've never had one, I've only just learnt the word. What how do you people eat these? It was, anyway, it's quite funny. It's quite funny to me, but they're quite funny with their sense of humour, Americans.
Or Texans, at least.
Or Texans, yeah. I'm careful about generalising. My sister might hear this. Yeah, it was good. Bit hot. Bit too much time that you have to spend in cars. Didn't love that. Great food.
Yeah.
They do know how to do good food. And they know how to do bad food really well. Great barbecue.
Oh, some of your pictures did look amazing.
Well, yeah, it was pretty fun.
Okay,
the barbecue was really nice.
I also need to tell you that on Saturday night, I think it was, we had lamb burgers for tea. But I had a chicken burger so I could have my Chick-fil-A sauce.
The Chick-fil-A sauce. And what was the verdict?
My life won't be the same before and after. Like, it's just, it is just amazing.
Is it the best condiment you've ever had?
100%. 100%. And I'm so grateful that you are my friend who went to Texas and got me it. That was probably the best thing that you've ever done. And I take from that that we are now officially BFFs.
We definitely are BFFs. And the way I felt about you while I was all the way over there seeing all these things that I knew you would love, I thought, oh, she'd love this so much. And as soon as I saw this sauce, actually, it was my sister told me you can buy it in the supermarket. I immediately knew what I had to get you.
I'm so happy.
Well, I'm so glad. And I've got a bottle in my fridge. So if you start running out, I'll lend you some.
We'll have to have chicken burgers together, or maybe brisket.
Or maybe a brisket. We could build a smoker in the backyard and try and smoke our own.
Oh, I've got a smoker. I've got a smoker we can do
have
it
you?
In. Yeah.
No way. Where have you got that?
We got it last year for like an upgrade to a barbecue. It's like a barbecue. It's like an outdoor.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was one of those things where my mum phoned me up and was like, oh, I've been watching the TV shopping channel and they've got something and I think it'll be really great for you. At which point, generally, I'm like, okay, that's probably not going to be the case, but okay. And anyway, then ever since, I've been like, this is amazing.
Oh, Elaine plus QVC plus Friday night can only mean bad news. Or good news.
Great news. Great news for us, because we'll smoke our brisket and lap it with lashings of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
So good.
One of the things that one of the most American things that we saw when we were there was something called a chicken scramble.
That sounds very American.
It involves preschoolers in a pen chasing chickens around and trying to catch a chicken, a live chicken, that they then get to keep.
Do they keep it to like eat, or
probably pluck it and smoke it and eat it, douse it in Chick-fil-A sauce? Job done.
Weird. That is quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite weird. When you think here, like animal cruelty and things like that, I think people would be like not okay with that at all, with chickens being harassed by small children. But they were, I mean, the children were all to the manner born. They were all really sort of good at it. And nobody was sort of crying or, oh, it's going to scratch me. They were all well into it.
Yeah, of course they were.
In their tiny little cowboy boots and big hats and Chick-fil-A t-shirts.
And I bet they were shouting, slap my thigh. This is good.
It was quite funny. It was quite funny hearing people talking and sounding, obviously, so American all the time. You do feel like such a visitor. You do feel a bit like, oh, go on, say that again. That was so funny. And Polly and I were just laughing at things people were saying, like when they were just being quite normal. But to us, it just sounded hilarious.
English people just laugh all the time.
Yeah, no, only at what you're saying, but you just don't realise because you're not very self-aware. Can't imagine that you'd be funny. You can't imagine that you'd be considered funny.
Can't imagine a world away. Would Texans be like rednecks? I know that's not a very...
Some of them, not all...
You know, I know that's not something you say.
Yes. Some of them, probably. Yeah, some of them definitely would, but not all of them.
Did you say to anyone, excuse me, are you a redneck?
No, I didn't. I think that would be quite a rude question. And I don't know that anyone is self-styled redneck. Or maybe there are proud rednecks. I don't know.
Do people self-identify as rednecks? Yeah, I don't know.
Good question. I don't know.
Well, maybe when we go to America, we'll go on a quest to find a self-proclaimed redneck.
I've got another friend who went to Texas very recently, and he asked the guy at church for a photo with him just so that he could say to him, because he wanted a photo of him with a real redneck. I'm just forwarding it to you now. It's so funny. It's such a funny picture. And really, this is really great for an audio format. I appreciate
that is.
But he did it so that he could show his children he'd met a redneck. And apparently, the guy was really chuffed to be asked.
What's amazing is that you can absolutely tell who your friend is and who the redneck is.
Can you want to describe the redneck for the listeners? He's got a cap on that says Brighter Day. He's got very long hair and a beard, checked shirt, jeans, cowboy boots.
Slightly strange.
And apparently he's got a backyard full of old trucks and engine parts and bottles of beer that he shoots at.
And the glasses.
I think that is peak redneck.
Don't forget about the glasses.
Yeah, so he can see what he's shooting at, probably.
They're like... Yeah, I know, but you know the way that they go across at the top.
Yeah. That's not a good glasses style, is it?
But that's quite in keeping. It's quite in keeping with the general tone.
General vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the choicer Texas We're So Amazing slogans was like pictures of like a little wall hanging that you could have in the shape of the state of Texas with all sorts of things hanging off it. And it just says, in Texas, we don't call 911.
Yeah.
And then bullets and things on it. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. Well, not sure how I felt about that. I felt a bit sick about that when I saw it.
We would never have that, would we? It would never happen in the UK that we'd rather shoot
an intruder than call the police. It's essentially what it's saying, isn't it?
Yeah. Crazy.
We'd rather take our chance shooting at somebody than call law enforcement.
Because
it betrays a very odd view of law enforcement.
Yeah,
which
really
I don't
skeptical.
Think we can understand that relationship between the police and the private citizen.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh, just crazy.
It seems very crazy. That's why my dad always ends up saying, it says, it seems crazy to us, which is the thing you have to keep saying to yourself so that you don't just leap to judgment all the time.
Yeah.
And it is just quite a good reminder that it is a foreign country with a completely different history. I'm not trying to defend like crazy gun toting. And while we were there, it was that awful, there was that awful shooting in Maine.
Oh, yes. A
bowling alley.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
While we were there. Horrific. Anyway, enough about me in America. I'm sure it'll, if we record any more, I'm sure we might hear more about that. But what less exciting things have you been up to in your insular little life?
Wow. I mean, I'm no Texan, but I wouldn't have described myself as insular, but okay. Okay. That's fine. It's okay. Well, I mean, life has gone on really as it was pre-podcast recording. Some things are harder, some things are easier. But I would say, like, life just feels hard, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I think that I am really at the point where, like, I'm just tipping over, or maybe now I've tipped, definitely tipped over, into the stage where you just feel the weight of things so much more than I think we have done before. And, you know, I think maybe 2-3 years ago, we were learning how to sit in that and be in that and come to a point of feeling content in knowing that that's not necessarily going to stop or finish or conclude. And I, you know, I think maybe now we're a bit more in that, you know, there's a bit of a different rhythm and a bit of a different, like, understanding between, well, not between, but there's just a bit of an understanding within our little family unit of what the day-to-day is now and the humdrum.
Yeah, you're normal.
Yeah, yeah. A bit of that. And then, you know, just a bit of, I think as well, you know, just a bit of being at peace with sitting in the dissonance of the unexpected and the inconsistent, which I think that's partly the age of the children, you know, as they're getting older, everything is a bit more inconsistent. So everything is a bit more flexible and you're not as tied down and dependent on routine, but you're also not exactly sure what's walking in or what are you about to say that I didn't know. And, you know, that ranges from anything, doesn't it, to, oh, I've got a basketball match that I've put my name down for at school, right up to, like, this quite big life-altering thing has happened and now I need to spring on you that we're working through that, or, you know, whatever it is, and everything in between.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, that was partly why we needed a break from the podcast, was to be able to, we needed to be able to give that the time that it needed so that we could work out, like, where do I take an hour now, or what does that look like in life at the moment, and how does that work best for everybody? So that's maybe feeling like a little bit more settled, I'd say, for now.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, yeah, so that's kind of that side of things, I'd say, you know.
Life with older children is definitely not as predictable as life with little children, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It settles into a sort of predictable unpredictability. And I don't think I appreciated how much I took that, the routine that my small children gave me until it was gone. And then my natural lack of routine coupled with their unpredictability has conspired to make life at times feel very unpredictable and very and a bit and quite out of control. if only emotionally and in my head. It's not that life is absolute, you know, you wouldn't look at our lives and think, wow, they look out of control. I don't think unless people are just not telling me that. But there's definitely more of an unpredictability about things and the unpredictability of people's moods. And when you talk about like what's walking through the door, you know, really it is like take the temperature. Do I say that thing? Do I not? Do I say nothing? Do I wait till later? Do I knock on the door? Do I stay downstairs? You know, it's a constant sort of dance to convey, communicate love and care in a way that doesn't irritate and stifle, I find.
Yeah.
And I find that I do that with very mixed success.
Yeah.
I would say. And I would say over the last week, the success has been mainly failure. When I say mixed success, I mean mostly failure.
Yeah.
And that by success, I mean nobody's lost it with me today. And I've had a civil conversation with one child, which has been balm to my soul, I can tell you. But yeah. So yeah, it is just requires you to draw on a whole different set of skills and resources.
Yeah.
And once again, you find yourself thinking, well, I find myself feeling so grateful that these children are not all down to me and that I truly know that they are in the hands of one who knows them far better than I do and who loves them better than I can. And I really don't think that's a cop-out. I do think that is a peace-bringing, it's a sort of peace-bringing and burden-lifting truth. Because you just can't be everything to them. Well, you can't ever really, but you can when they're little, or at least you can feel like you can. And when they're older, it's not so easy. And they don't want you to, as opposed to children when they're little who want you to do everything for them. Your big children actively don't want you to.
Yeah.
And they might prefer somebody else, which can feel difficult, but actually that's quite a relief. So that's good.
That's one of those things though, isn't it, where it's 50% relief and 50% absolutely distraught that's the truth in that moment, that maybe somebody else is better for them in that moment than you are, which is like never been true before, which is horrific.
No, exactly. and it's difficult to not, your first response to that feeling that they would prefer somebody other than you in a particular moment, it's easy to interpret that and receive that as failure on your part. It's that you failed.
Yeah,
that you're not good enough, and rejection. And I really don't believe that it is that. Or if it is a bit that, then it's possibly quite healthy.
Yeah,
it's actually quite healthy and a sign that you've helped them to know how to build healthy relationships with other people, and to communicate their needs with other people. I'm trying to look for sort of silver linings.
Yeah, no. I think you're right.
The good stuff.
I think you're right, and I think especially when it comes to, you know, the good old phrase that we love, bringing the gospel to bear on whatever the said teen angst is in the moment, because
there is.
I was like yesterday I was doing the quiet time with the children. And between Humble all of rack. Them, I mean, if you could have seen it, there's nothing. There's no bragging rights to be had. But one of the things that it really made me think, and more I just keep thinking, is that, like, this is why the whole kind of it takes a village thing is so true, because it's impossible in a moment like that to be to each of their individual personalities and ways of learning and all the rest of it what they need. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just, there, and I'm just thinking, like, one of them, I'm like, you're this is just over your head. Another one of them, like, just dominates with questions, and it's like, it's not enough. So, you know, you've automatically got two very different extremes there.
Yeah.
And then one of them is just, like, you know, gritting their teeth and trying to get through it and wants it to be over and done with. And then one of them just needs, like,
is that, is you that one?
Yeah, that I'm the second one of those. And then one of them just needs like a really gentle and, like, loving way of being able to talk about things that are difficult to hear, or, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it just, all day I've just been thinking, oh, like, the idea that we would do that every day, you know, and follow this kind of family ideal of this daily kind of devotion in this way. I just thought, I can't, like, there's no way that I can do that. I can't do that. I can't be what they need me to be in that moment.
I wonder if expectations on us as parents nowadays as well are higher than they've ever been. Like, we're expected to be so engaged and so attentive and so in touch with our children in a way that I'm sure our parents weren't with us.
Yeah.
Even if they were Christians, which mine weren't at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
Or barely, you know.
But they did not talk about parenting in the way we did.
Well, no, parenting wasn't really, I mean, you just, parents were something you were, not something that you did. And I'm quite a fan of, like, I am a parent. I'm not parenting. I don't know. I'm happy being a parent, but I don't want to do the parenting. I mean, does that just sum it up?
I think you're in a bit too deep, really, to not do, you know, to not really at this point.
Well, I am. I mean, I do the parenting, but I'm constantly aware that it's the parenting for a child that I don't have.
It's for your fourth child.
I should put my parenting out to tender, and if other people think it would suit their child, then they could sort of send their child my way for a bit of my parenting. And likewise, I think my child needs this and this. Has anyone got any going? Anyone got any spare? Because I think that's the hard thing, thinking, I think you need this, but I can't give it to you. Well, it's not so much that, it's more, I don't know what you need. Because I think if you have a sense of what they need, you do your damnedest to try and give it to them, don't you?
Yeah, you 100% do. You 100% do. But do you know what it is?
You 100% do. You 80% do. I just think I tend to operate at the 80-85%.
It's a bit generous, Kat, that.
Thanks a lot. Oh, gosh. Oh, I don't know what's happened to the other 20%, but anyway, there we go. Oh, it's been so nice talking to you. Is it a bit tragic to think we don't really talk unless we're recording it for the world? who makes us get together and chat?
No, it's fine. We have our,
I'll take
like,
it for now.
We have our texting marathons, don't we? Every like now and again.
We do. We do. And we had a good sesh on Friday night, didn't we?
Oh, it was so good.
I was an absolute wreck after that.
Shall I tell you what? I slept in till 10:45.
Yeah. That wow. Saturday morning. That is quite unheard of.
I know. I woke up
all your therapizing of me.
I know. You drained me of all my reserves of energy. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Oh, you're too kind.
I especially loved how we ended up in the wrestling room.
We weren't wrestling, just for the audio. No, it's the audio.
It was on the challenge of the...
wasn't that sort of evening? Yeah, exactly. In our efforts to try and find a room with no other people in it.
And eventually we did, didn't we? Eventually they got the point and went to bed.
Yeah. They did, left us to it. We glowered at them.
No, we...
Oh, it was good, though.
Oh, it was good. It was so good. So, shall we do a little plum crumb before we finish?
Let's do a little plum crumb. I am going to plum crumble a film I watched on the plane.
When you went to America?
On the way back from America.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's into America.
It's so overwhelming trying to choose things to watch. I mean, anyway, but on a plane also, and you're a bit excited.
Get a grip.
So I watched, I'll tell you, let me tell you a few things. I'm not plum crumbling. I watched the first episode of The Last of Us. Horrific. There's no way I'm going to watch that.
Agree.
And then I did a bit of Googling on it, like what is going on and what are the creatures and things. And I scared myself even just Googling it. There's no way I can watch any of that.
Okay.
And I watched an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was so hilarious.
Love it.
It makes me laugh so much. And it was an episode where he's asked, one of his stupid rich friends thinks it's such a shame that people aren't there at their funerals. You know, at their funerals, everyone says all these really nice things about them, but obviously they're not there because they're dead. Yeah. So he organises his own funeral.
I know, I've seen that one. I know the one.
While he's alive. And Larry's sort of like the compere. But annoyingly for the guy, Larry just thinks it's an absolute nonsense and proceeds to turn the event into a sort of like, just a bit of a sort of like mick take fest and a slagging off fest of this pretentious friend who's watching the whole thing unfold from his bedroom upstairs on the telly with his wife. And then he gets so annoyed he comes down to like break it up because it's not what he had in mind. So funny. But the thing I really wanted to recommend was a film called The Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
Called The Jesus Revolution?
Yeah.
And I mean, part of me was like, well, I mean, I wouldn't know a Christian film. I would normally like run a mile, but I was just quite interested. And it had that guy from The Chosen in it. Who possibly in danger of being typecast, perhaps needs to be in something a bit different next time around. But I thought, oh, let's give this a watch. And I just loved it. I found it really moving. And and I even cried when I was watching it. Could have been the lack of sleep and the little bottle of red wine I had. But it was really good. I don't know where you can watch it, but if you've got any interest in kind of revivals and the foundation of things like the Vineyard movement and things like that, it's again just the impact of hippie culture, which I've always had a massive thing about, in the 60s, the impact of hippie culture on the church and vice versa. Yeah, it was really good. I loved it. Really recommend it. I don't know where you can watch it. Might be on Amazon Prime or somewhere like that. But yeah, recommend it. Jesus Revolution.
Do you think you were slightly drawn to that because you are a kind of closet hippie?
Yeah, definitely. As a teenager, I was always reading books about Woodstock and things like that. Loved it. Janis Joplin, was always listening to her, dressed like an absolute massive hippie.
Yeah.
Long fringy skirts, long fringy hair.
You've got a bit of a hippie hairstyle going on at the moment, actually.
Yeah, a bit. A bit of an aging hippie. I wore something to school yesterday. So yesterday or the day before, some slightly mad outfit to sort of cheer myself up. I was feeling a bit down. And my daughter said to me, "Mum, no offence, but you look like one of those teachers." I was like, "What do you mean, one of those teachers?" She's like, "You know, those teachers who think they're a bit sort of, they're like trying to be a bit in, or they're trying to be a bit..." I just felt like, oh, please just do one. Let me just dress how I want. Do you think I care what you think? Secret, I do care a bit what she thinks. But anyway, I'm going to keep dressing how I like.
But interestingly, you actually don't really care what other people think, which is sort of the irony, isn't it?
I don't really. Yeah, no. Yeah. But, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
funny.
One of my colleagues said she loved it. She loved my outfit. She said, I could never get away with that. Which I always think is a little bit of a
backwards compliment
with faint praise. Yeah, exactly. You are brave to dress like that to work. Anyway, never mind. What's your plum crumble?
I could do quite a few at the moment, actually. But in fact, I am going to do a few. So buckle in.
Do it.
I'm going to do things that have made me want to slap my thigh. The first thing I'm going to recommend is the David Beckham documentary.
Have started it.
I feel like we might need Lucy Morley on the podcast for some proper David Beckham appreciation.
Oh, really? Is she a super fan?
I don't actually know, but I'm just assuming. Just assuming she will be, because he's beautiful and organized. So, and can grill his own mushrooms in a boathouse. Like, what more is there to say? But I mean, like, it's just fascinating. His life is just fascinating. And although I couldn't, it'd be interesting to hear what you think. At the end of it, I couldn't help just feel a bit sad, actually, for him that his life is kind of reduced to this, spending hours in this kind of funny boathouse thing. And it's lovely, you know, he has all his lovely family around him and his kids, and just made me think there is such a price to pay to be who he's been. And perhaps he didn't pay it at the time, you know, in some ways he did, because of, you know, he had some really hard times, but the price that he pays now and going on, I just always sort of wonder. It would be really interesting to explore like more of that side of it with him. You know, for all the money in the world, he can't just go to the pub or like just go to the cinema or. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I just found it really sobering and humbling and like fascinating. I found it all of the ings, basically. Highly recommend.
That goal he scored from the halfway line. I mean, it is amazing.
Like, absolutely insane.
He was a cracking footballer. And you know me, like, football super fan, very knowledgeable about football.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But
we're all waiting for your remarks on it.
My punditry.
As pundit extraordinaire.
Well, we'll see how this one goes. Maybe it's worth another episode, though, because I do really want to watch it all.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely come back and talk about it when you have
done. Definitely worth dangling the plumb line against David Beckham.
Maybe.
Indeed. Golden plumb bobs.
It reminds me of that gif I sent you the other day. Anyway, moving on. And the other thing that I really want to recommend is this series of books, which I have in front of me because I have bought.
Ooh, M.G. Leonard.
Yeah. So we read Twitch last year, which was all about bird watching. And over half term, we finished book two in the series of three, which is called Spark. And there is another book in the series, the third one, which is called Clutch. And Twitch, Spark and Clutch are all birding terms, which some people might already know. But as a novice in the world of twitching, I didn't know. But we read Spark over half term, and we listened to it on the way up to Northumberland. And we listened to it as we drove around Northumberland. Then we listened to it on the way back from Northumberland. And it was just one of those books where everyone was just quiet in the car. Everyone wanted to hear what happened next. And even Sam, who is not a lover of Audible books, he really, really doesn't like them. Even he was like, well, we have to find out what happens at the end. So, it's just been one of those series of books where everyone has really enjoyed it. And so at the moment on Amazon, or they were yesterday, each book was only like £2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Suitable for year sevens?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd say Henry's eight, and he's quite a good reader, like quite a good listener, I'd say, to books. Maybe not as good a reader of them, but a good listener to books. And he's been fine with it. But it's also been like my 2 year eights have also really enjoyed it. So. Mm-hmm. So.
Good.
Yes. That's my plum crumble for today.
Lovely. Why does Sam not like audiobooks?
I don't know. He's really not one for like listening to an Audible book in the car. Would much rather have music on than a book. But who can know the mind of
Sam Woodford,
the bronze god? not quite golden balls, but.
Bronze balls.
Yes.
On that note, it's been lovely to be back. Thank you if you've stayed to the end. Don't get your hopes up, but we might do another one.
Toodaloo.
Bye for now.